what do you look for in that cover version? I mean, looking at yourself in the mirror, you think, well, would I like to recognize myself in the mirror? Or the further away it is, the more interesting it gets? Or
in most cases, yes, the last one there, because that's a totally new listen and look to the things that you once did, because they're so inside your body and inside your mind. You cannot think about it in another way. It's even already difficult to make another version of a song for ourselves. Sometimes we did. For instance, Dutch Mountains, we wanted to have another approach. But it always, in some way, went wrong. So you always come back to the original. Mm. And then it's so wonderful to listen to other people finding a totally different approach inside your music.
The plan seemed simple enough. There weren't many cover versions of Nit's songs around, so we wanted to record an album to honor their 40 years of existence with a set of their songs re-recorded by musicians that had a relationship with the Nits and their music. A simple plan, one band changing singers. We underestimated the number of people who had a relationship with his music, so the small project turned into something far bigger. 3 CDs with 51 cover versions by artists from 10 different countries.
Of course, the whole idea that so many musicians put so much of their inner feelings into the music we played is, of course, one of the nicest things you can ever experience as a musician, that all those colleagues, they just give their utmost to make their version, and that in itself already is, of course, beyond compare. And then when you listen to the result, it's just, it's too much. It's really wonderful. I think we all had trouble in expressing the way we were impressed. It was because you're sort of, it's a wave after wave, not one wave, it's 51 waves coming over you. So that's really a lot.
I remember that I was really moved. I moved to tears sometimes with songs. But I was also surprised listening to the lyrics that were sung by other people. And sometimes by women, of course, and by men with a total different approach. And it gave me a new insight in the lyrics. So that was a very, very moving moment to listen to it. The variety was so enormous, so totally unexpected. It was a meal, an Indonesian meal, including a Japanese meal with beauty. So I could follow things, but I was a little bit lost also in the beauty.
This project was put together by Beda Zen, at the time sound advisor at Swiss TV, and long-standing Nits fan, Olli Hartung, guitarist and friend of the band, and yours truly, Isn't Nits.
I think it was a great kind of ping pong, bringing ideas of which artists can be performing which song. And we had some arguments as well, which belongs to a project. But it was great how fast and how a big variety of people and bands and styles were involved at the end.
Of course, a lot of different people are interested in the Nits because it's such interesting music, you know, and I think it doesn't matter if you're a jazz musician or a singer-songwriter or a rock musician or a classical musician, you always find something special in this music of the Nits, and it's very interesting for musicians.
I remember how sometimes it would be like many people would react to the same song or want to do the same song. Do you remember anything about how this process of elaboration went on?
As far as I can remember, I mean, I put in some names, and because you were the guy better knowing the Nits and their songs, I think a little bit more than me, and I was quite soon you said, hey, this could work with that. It was kind of quite a lively thing, and some people I didn't know you brought in, others it was kind of this as well, this ping pong of and putting together this puzzle, you know, which could fit for which artist, which song. This was a process, of course.
I didn't know all the albums, I didn't know all the songs. So for me, it was also very interesting to dive more into the Nitz's music, you know. I liked the fact that people could choose on their own, you know. For me, it was really interesting to see what would they choose, you know. Of course, everybody wants to do Dutch Mountains because it's kind of easy to do. Well, it's not easy to really do it, but you know, it's a song which works, you know. But to take more special songs, that's it's quite a thing to do a good cover of a lot of these songs, you know.
I remember us taking responsibility for different people. How was it for you to approach maybe some of the people, you know, like especially from the Zurich scene, where you had to be sort of like an insider to know them at all?
Mm-hmm.
You approached them and told them about the Nitz project. What was their response to that?
Yeah, some hardly know the Nitz or kind of the Dutch Mountains, but quite a lot of them weren't really knowing the Nitz. So I had to kind of sell the Nitz. I said, hey, listen to it, and I send you some of the music. And a lot of them, they were, oh, great, fantastic. And I think this was, for me at least, also an idea to bring the Nitz and the younger ones kind of together. And so it's quite astonishing how quickly they dived in. It was quite interesting, yeah.
Of course, I knew some of these musicians, but by far not all of them, you know, because there were even people from Australia and whatever, and I didn't know them. But let's say Gus McGregor, for example, I worked with him as well, you know. For me, it was kind of clear he's going to choose a song which works as a singer-songwriter, just with all the songs can work with a guitar, but he did Boy in a Tree, which is really a song which is easily done with a guitar and just a voice, you know. There were a couple of artists, actually, I knew which songs they probably would choose.
Let's talk about surprises. Some people that chose something that was surprising.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises on this album. For example, Mario Batkovic, he's an accordion player, very virtuoso, and he made an amazing version of Vaolanda Seni Seni, which was really surprising. It worked so well. Or there was like Big Sis. She changed Infant Queen into Infant King into Infant Queen, and it's also very surprising version of it, I think.
It's interesting bringing people from another music background to what are they doing with it, because I really love covers, but not, you know, if someone like just play AC/DC, like, you know, AC/DC, then it's definitely not working. But if someone makes like a piano version of a thing, then it can be really interesting. And that was my target, to find people who are able to bring their own story together with the Nitz and creating something new. Some were turning out better with this, and some were closer to the original, which is also fine. But my favorites are the ones who tell their own story.
Hi, this is Adi Weiermann of The Wires.
The one everyone wanted to cover in the Dutch Mountains was recorded by two very different bands.
It was actually rather funny how we came to play the Dutch Mountains for the project. My wife asked me, what's their hit? You should play their hit. And I was reluctant first, but then that's her way of like working with my sensitive artist soul and sometimes pushing me towards things I wouldn't have done. So we actually picked that song pretty quickly.
And I'm standing in the valley of rock, up to my belly in an early fog. I was looking for the road to a green painted house in the Dutch mountains. In the Dutch mountains.
And then, surprisingly, my brother came up with that incredible drum beat. I think it had been in his head for a couple of weeks already, but as soon as I started with the song, he started with that beat, and that thing just made everything happen. It was just a matter of deciding when to start with the beat fully and how to arrange the whole song so there's a new phase each time we're coming back. And that really came from the lyrics, really good lyrics. And while listening to the lyrics and reading them, I came to realize, oh my God, there are no Dutch mountains, which took me a bit too long to realize, but that's hard to grasp for a person living in Switzerland, that there could be a country without mountains. It was also great to know it's just two chords. And I really had it in my head. I've been listening to it on the radio for years.
Met a miller on the back of a cow. He was looking for the wood but didn't know how. I said, follow the cloud, it looks like a sheep. We're in a Dutch mountain. In a Dutch mountain. In a Dutch mountain.
The other thing that was really amazing for me was playing it in the studio, live, on the floor together, in the same room, which, yeah, is something you normally don't do that much.
Mie on Mari ja mie on laulaja Värttinä yhtyeessä. My name is Mari and I'm a singer of Finnish folk music group Värttinä. When Nitz asked Värttinä to arrange and record one of their songs, we absolutely wanted to do Dutch Mountains. Our version is called Vienna Mountains, Vienan Vuoret.
Vienan Vuoret.
Me and Karolina decided to take a challenge of translating the lyrics. Because Värttinä sings in Karelian Baltic runosong language, the words have to be changed to an old style language. Same summer 2014, just month before, we were on a poetry song collecting trip on a Russian side of Vienna Karelia called White Karelia. The idea for Vienna Mountains came from there. There are no mountains in Finland, only fells in the Lapland, very north of Finland, and Vienna has none. So for us, that was an absurd to have mountains in Vienna as in Netherlands.
Vuoret.
So on beautiful summer day, Karolina and I went to the shore of the lake to write the lyrics. We laughed with tears in our eyes when we thought about the Finnish translations and its words suitable for the Kalevala language. The most fun we had when we had to come up with a suitable phrase for "And the moon is a coin with the head of the queen." Finnish longest serving and most important president from the 1950s until 1980s was President Urho Kekkonen. His trademark was his handsome bald head. So the translation became, the moon was glowing like the bald head of Kekkonen. Our drummer Mikko Hassinen made a new arrangement to the song, and there's a very many changing rhythms. So the lyrics had to hit the right beat, both melodically and rhythmically. But I think we managed to make the translation look like Värttinä style. It became funny too, but most importantly, we wanted to respect Nits' original lyrics and imagines of the Dutch mountains.
Favorite of the wonderful project isn't Nits, the three CDs that you people made so wonderfully. Again and again, many thanks for that. But I have to give my favorites, they say. here they are. I took four of them in following order of their appearance on the three CDs. The way I picked them out was like with three things in mind. The first one was the idea of how to perform this song, and number two was the performance of the idea, how to perform the performance of the idea, and the third one is how the song worked out to me as a consumer, not so much as a musician. That's also important, I think. So here they are. Havelka by Reza Dinali. The second one is Soap Bubble Box by Nadja Stoller and Hans Feigenwinter. And the next one is Va Hollanda Seni Seni by Mario Batkovic. And the last one, not, but not least, I must say, Cars and Cars by Fritz Hauser and Stefan Grieder. But thanks to anyone anyway who did anything to make this whole project happen.
I saw a box in New York, inside the MoMA, clay pipe and cork. It's a soap bubble. It's a soap bubble.
Was already one of my favorites at, when we were sitting there in the moods listening for the first time. Also with the concert, like the soul bubble, the lightness and the piano, the approach, it was almost one of the objects of Joseph Cornell. Another one, we did one. But they did another one. But it was an object. It was a box of Cornell, a box of magic, and very, very tender and light.
this the bit?
Boy in a Tree, because also because of the vocals. And I like his voice so much. Yeah, I like everything about it. But it's closer to what we did. I know that, but it's still so beautiful.
Great opening.
And he is a great singer.
Now she stands upon his shoulders and looks across the garden and sees the oak behind the farm. It's really, it's like a painting, isn't it? This is what I love about it. This is what drew me to it in the beginning, was that, you know, because the images are so strong. And I had to ask, Hank what it was about. I had no idea, really. Mm. And he gave me some answers, but he said, I don't want to tell you too much. And it makes me think of that, you know, that thing that people say that if you like sausages, it's better to not always know exactly what goes in them. That kind of songs are like that too. And I remember saying that, Hank was agreeing with that. But yeah, when she drops in town a little handkerchief, he picks it up for her. Although he's not a prince of charm, you know, what's that? Now she stands upon his shoulders and he looks across the garden and sees the oak behind the farm. It reminds me, like all great art, because that's what I think they are. That's what drew me to the project, because it's... I don't know how famous... They're not super famous in England. I don't think anybody really knows them. Maybe a core. But when I heard them, I sort of immediately recognised that there was something about the writing and the sort of production, the performance and everything that just was really in integrity. Have you ever heard of that W.H. Auden? There's a poem that it's called something like Le Beau Arts. I can find that for you. But he talks about how the great masters knew the detail was important. So Auden's talking about the painting of Icarus falling into the sea. And in the poem, he says how, although the legs were sticking out of the water in the sea, the ploughman still carried on with his plough and the dog still went about its doggy life and everything. And it makes me think of, in this song, it makes me think how, the detail, you know, is just so nice. He's not a prince of charm. What's that? There were times when she was so beautiful. She's dancing with my uncles. Her hair was darker than this house. He could have just said how dark the hair was. You know, the hair was very dark. But, you know, the metaphor he chooses is this house. So you're drawn into two different pictures. You're like, okay, so her hair's dark. And what's dark about the house? Is it actually painted dark or is it just emotionally dark? You know, there's a lot. It's so rich. It's such a rich song and I love it. When she drops in town a little handkerchief, he picks it up for her. Although he's not a prince of charm. Now she stands upon his shoulders and looks across the garden and sees the oak behind the farm. I'm up here in the waving tree. I feel my mother looks at me. She's living near the bone. There were times when she was beautiful, dancing with my uncles. Her hair was darker than this house. Although it's true that she was proud of him, standing on his shoulders, she saw the lights of other towns. On Friday night, she took the train. On Sunday, she is back again, bringing home stories near the bone. Boy in a tree. Boy in a tree. Boy in a tree's been looking round and round. Boy in a tree. shows another day. She's 40 years or older. Her hair will fade from black to gray. She drives and drives all through the night with a parrot on her shoulder until the darkness goes away. She's standing near the waving tree. Looking up, she talks to me. All I hear is the wind in the leaves. Bark in a tree. Bark in a tree. Bark in a tree. He's been looking round and round. Bark in a tree. Bark in a tree's been looking round and round and round. Bark in a tree.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Simon Pelletier-Gilbert, je suis musicien, acteur et producteur de musique et je suis basé à Montréal, au Canada.
Il est une reine dans son palais de brume. Ce soir, elle ne peut dormir, elle tremble sous le clair de lune. Car l'homme du Texas a le monde à ses pieds. Il tire les ficelles des marionnettes. Mon roi de papier, on ne trouve pas de sommeil dans les champs de Verdun. Et plus de soldats ne veulent mourir pour le bien de chacun. Moi, je suis dans un...
First time I heard about the Nits, I was playing with a band called Les Chercheurs d'Or, un groupe de musique folk, country, bluegrass, basé à la ville de Québec. Et par l'entremise de notre agent de spectacle suisse, Ulrich Chauvet, on a eu la chance de participer à un album hommage à The Nits et de réinterpréter une de leurs chansons. So, if I remember well, we had to choose between some different tracks and we picked No Man's Land. We had such a great time working on this song. I remember we were in studio. We've been recording live all together. Et on a vraiment approché notre style et nos instruments d'une nouvelle façon. En quelque sorte, c'est drôle parce que ça a ouvert des portes. I had the opportunity to enjoy the band live. The show I appreciated the most was the one in Zurich. C'était le spectacle de leur tout dernier album qui avait des influences, de nouvelles influences un peu plus actuelles, électroniques. En fait, de ce que j'ai découvert au fil du temps, à travers les années où j'ai écouté différentes choses des Nits, j'ai pu remarquer que c'était un groupe qui était toujours à l'affût d'être actuel, puis de se renouveler tout en gardant une authenticité et une signature très forte qui leur est propre. So the last time I saw the band live in Zurich, I was very impressed to see how wide is the range of this band. And also having this band who has 50 years of experience and commitment, it's just amazing. It's fascinating. It's very touching. It's so exceptional. I had a feeling of seeing a groupe mythique comme The Beatles or something like that. Mais c'était très imposant. Et à cette occasion-là, à Zurich, j'ai aussi eu la chance de les rencontrer en personne et de leur parler un peu. And to realize that those guys are just amazing humans, very simple, very friendly, generous, great people.
Happy is a Swiss singer-songwriter who has worked with Yellow and Stefan Eichen. The song that she covered for his Nits is...
Rischio, questo paradiso.
I felt very inspired by the song. I think it has a lot of colors in it, and I thought there's so many directions I can go. To me, it was easy because it had so many themes to pick up. So I didn't find it difficult to cover this song, not for melodic reasons.
There is something very layered in that song, and you've sort of like streamlined it in a certain sense, not for a mainstream, but streamlined it.
Yeah, exactly.
Simplified the structure as well.
I think it automatically happened because I tried not to listen too many times to the song to really get my own interpretation. And I think what happened was that I couldn't remember how difficult it was and had a simpler idea about it.
There's also something about the song's lyrics. You changed those a little bit.
Because I simplified the structure, it kind of needed a second verse that was in the same kind of melody as the first verse, so there was some lyrics were missing, and I just assumed that this story will go on in Italy, and I grew myself a mustache and shared a gelato.
Rob's list of favorites includes not three but eight songs, starting with
Famous October Biking Head.
A no drums a cappella version.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost Beach Boys like. It's so nice harmonically and in the voice and the way they shift the different lines, and it's also so light. What Biking Head, in fact, expresses among other things, that's also very much there in their version. If you talk about improvisation, I think the combination of Grieder Hauser playing Carlson Cars also is, they are both masters of free impro. And it's just amazing what they play there. It's because they also take the opportunity and the risk to just do this flow. And it blows me away. It's really, really very nice. Yeah. And it's not a pop song, but still, because the whole thing is sort of conceived as a pop album, maybe. I don't know how you would describe it, but in the whole, it has a really it really fits to the whole thing. Of course, The Wires in the Dutch Mountains, which was the song in the whole collection which at first really struck me most, for obvious reasons, because I liked their playing so much. And what I also realized is they only did two takes, which is very close to our own approach, because our In the Dutch Mountains version is also a one-taker. There's no dubbing, it's just, you know, what you hear is what you get. And I like the singing, and I like this sort of rough edge in the playing. And I know also that at that particular moment, he used exactly the same drum set as I played later on, the huge Ludwig Crystallite. It just blows me away. Then we have Shiftland, because I like the way he does the language so much. Mm. And the way he sort of makes me feel he really gets the lyrics. It's just, he's just telling the story so well.
Rob's next choice, Elia Rediger, the flowers.
They took a risk. From my feeling, it's almost as chaotic as the one we did. Because it's a hard song. It's a hard song to play because there's so much going on in the lyrics and in the music. And you can feel it, this tension also in their band. It kept me breathless from beginning to end.
A touch of Henry Moore, the Coma Buben from Bern.
They made it very visible, the lyrics, but also the art and the feelings that people have, Henk, and they, of course, also about this art and what it does to them and in which way it expresses their own feelings in their life. And musically, I thought it was really genius. So that's a wonderful version.
Do you listen also with an ear to, are they too close to what we did?
Yeah.
And is it more interesting if they take chances with it?
Yeah, of course. But there are exceptions because there are people who stayed very close to our version but had a version which sound-wise and emotionally and the fragility in it touched me so much that I also put it on the list. The next one is one which is even more empty than ours. That's Breuthol and Me. Her voice, and she almost says the lyrics mostly, and Simon's playing, and the very sparse electronic sounds they used, and it's just like really, the night and the loneliness, wonderful, wonderful. And then comes the exception in Far Away or Not from our own version, Shirley and Ollie, Louder and Louder. That's because she's, and it makes me cry almost, the way she does it. And Ollie.
Your friends.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll keep it at that.
I have a sip of water.
All right.
Louder and louder, you keep crying louder, no one can hear you. Higher and higher, you keep flying higher, no one can see you. Lower and lower, you keep falling lower, no one will be there to help you. Louder and louder, no one can hear you. Higher and higher, you keep flying higher, no one can reach you. Lower and lower, you keep sinking lower, no one will catch you. Louder and louder, you keep crying louder, no one will be there to help you. Louder and louder, no one can.
I first met Henk and Rob when they were on the road with Arvin and Tizia. And that was for the Expo 2002, I think it was, in Beale. And I mean, I come from Ireland, so I didn't know the Nids. They weren't a band that I grew up with, you know. But when I came here to Switzerland and I heard, wow, we're going to do this big thing with the Nids, you know, I thought, okay. And everyone else was very, very impressed. And of course, as soon as I started hanging out with them and playing with them, I knew that these weren't just the run-of-the-mill crowd. They were wonderful people, wonderful musicians, and extremely inspiring to work with.
What's the thing that you remember most about working with them?
There are actually two things that spring to mind. One thing about Rob and one thing about Henk. And it has nothing to do with music. With Henk, it's his playfulness. Always when I'm around Henk, I have the feeling I'm around a six-year-old boy who just loves life. No matter where he goes, he sees all the positives. He sees what we could do, what's possible. And he giggles. He giggles so much. We were on these long journeys home after the gigs. He just giggled. And it's just so good to be around him, because I'm not a giggler, you know. I'm kind of the glass is half empty kind of person. And hanging around with Henk, it's just good for the soul.
Do you hear that in the music too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so playful. It's so playful. And with Rob and me, we have a stage love affair. We always have had a stage love affair. We just love being with each other. And I've worked with Rob, with Simon Ho, with the Nits. And then Rob and me did, together with this other guy, we did a theatre production called Pure Joyce. And we got to be together for like 6 weeks. And I mean, I just love him. I just love him. I think I've known him for a few lives.
And then you got to work on the Isn't Nits project too.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know how it happened. Did you choose the song, or did Ollie do that? Or
Ollie chose the song. Ollie knows the Nits up and down and in and out, yeah? And so he came to me and he said, I'd really like to do this song. And I wasn't going to argue with the man, because it's a beautiful song. And he knows what he's talking about. And I knew I'd find my way in a Nits song. So I agreed without actually ever hearing it, that we would do it. And then I listened to it and I thought, yeah, let's go for it.
Do you remember anything about recording it then?
I remember this really strict timeline, you know, because people were coming in and out of the studio the whole time. And, you know, if you've been in studio, and I've been in studio quite a bit, there are always delays. They are just so tiring, these delays. With the Isn't Nits, it was, okay, she's here, go. And you went straight into the booth and you did what you were doing and you were gone again. So it was a completely freakish atmosphere. But of course, we didn't compromise on the music. I think it was an hour slot that we got. And Ollie and I had played music together for like 10 years before we did the recording. So there was a lot of intuition there. We didn't need a lot of rehearsals. We knew how both of us breathe in music, yeah? So it didn't take us long to get the take.
You know the Nits maybe via Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances are that you'll do something that is great together, even though you don't know the initial basis like the Nits.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's even better. You know, because you have no preconceptions. You don't have the feeling that you have to copy someone, you know? So there was a certain amount of freedom there. But of course, I mean, as I say, every time I think of Henk, I think of playfulness. And that is something that I don't have when I sing. I'm not playful when I sing. So I had to find a completely different approach to the song that was true to me and at the same time helped me portray the song in a way that would do the song justice. And of course, with Ollie, that wasn't a big deal. I love Ollie and I love to play music with him.
The Milkman, as he's called in one of those.
The Milkman, yeah.
Red, how my beach is bleeding. Black, sky is almost burning. Too many soldiers are dead. Church, you say. Green, the maple leaf is always green. The grass is almost red. Too many people are dead. And Hitler said,
"Of course, the one that stood out at the moment of first listening was Havelka, because that version, the way he is singing it, is so totally different than I could ever sing. That was a very strange, beautiful way of playing and singing the song. It was so empty, and it was much heavier. The lyrics came in much heavier than I ever thought. Of course, I knew it was about war, it was about Hitler. But the way we play, it's kind of light, it's rich. But when you bring it down to the essence of the melody and the lyrics, then it's a very powerful thing.
He is also a magnificent singer, most of all because he also tells a story so well. So he doesn't do the lyric, but he tells a story. And that's so important. Somebody, that's also what my preference defines for Costello. He always tells a story so well. And that's not all singers have the same amount of capability in this respect. So I couldn't go around his version of that all the time.
Smoking on the sofa, feel the waiter kid. He knows my name.
When it turned out that In the Dutch Mountains was already taken, I looked for a challenge. And of course, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, because In the Dutch Mountains would have been like a challenge, of course. It's just that I was very familiar with the song, as it used to sort of ensnare me in my childhood, coming from the radio. So I didn't know Havelka, and the thought alone that I'd no idea what Henk was saying was like reason enough for me to choose it. But I have to admit that it didn't grab me first time I listened to it. So I began to think about what to do with Havelka. I listened carefully this time, because I didn't want to mess with the Nits or like their body of work. So the longer I listened, the more I understood what I wanted to do with it. So I picked up my guitar and started sort of emulating the chords in an alternative tuning. It took on the heaviness that ultimately underlined the words. So in that regard, I also came closer to the words and the story.
Reza Dinali, one of the Swiss artists who was invited to the birthday party in Harlem.
And I remember Eric and I rented an apartment in Amsterdam and took the train to the Staatsschauburg in Harlem, where the event took place. I was extremely nervous and had no idea what to expect. However, I may well remember that I received a very warm welcome, and Eric always whispered like a few reassuring words to me, something like, you'll see, it'll be great. And he starts Schoberg like it leans over you like a giant when you stand on stage, and that's like enormously fascinating. But yeah, I was so nervous on the night that I didn't notice when it was over. After my performance, I remember I didn't even dare ask for a beer, because I was used to something so different, you know, like small clubs and smelly backstage and like usually a fridge from which you fetched your beer. But yeah, it was different. Like, it was big and classy and well kept. And thank you, Nits, and all the people who made it possible for me to have this unforgettable experience in my life.
A warm applause for Reza Dinali.
Thank you.
is red, how my beach is bleeding, and black, the sky is almost burning. Too many soldiers are dead, and Churchill said, peace. And green, the maple leaf has always. And green, the grass is almost red. Too many people are dead, and Hitler said, Krieg, Krieg, in the footsteps of my father. I went all the way to Algeria, France and Ireland. And why is life is such a mystery? When Paris was his destiny, then my mother said, rue this on the sofa, then the waiter came. He knows my name. Lost its tracks in Vietnam, at a Velka where the clock lies always sets well for tea.
Among the other guests, George Koymans and Rinus Gerritsen from Golden Earring, who joined the band for Flowers.
I remember George Koymans.
That's a wonderful story.
When we celebrated our 40th anniversary, George Koymans of the Earring, he took this song as a guest singer, and he really had trouble with it, and he was so nervous about it, about singing it, and like he almost got sick.
He almost stopped doing it, and he was pushed almost to try it, and he did.
He's walking through the snowflakes in the churchyard with a bunch of flowers in his hand. was put it on a gravestone of a young soldier who died in the desert singing. Girls in lonely hours. Life is floating away in a small river on the red desert sand. The river of pictures and movie 20 years floating through his head.
Dial Nits, a podcast about the Dutch band Nits. A celebration of five decades of sophisticated music from the Netherlands. Your host, Erik Fakon.